Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 22nd of November, 2020. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul spoke on guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the readings are Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 4 and Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. So we'll go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
Good morning and welcome to Minehead Baptist Church on Sunday the 22nd of November. The year seems to be rushing by somehow, doesn't it? There are a few notices for this week. If you haven't received our notice sheet and you'd like to do so, please contact us at the office and we will arrange to send one to you. The notices are as per the sheet plus sort of thing. That you'll notice this week in our notices that there are lots of different opportunities and different thoughts and comments about prayer. I'd like to emphasise those two, if I could, to say that every morning we pray as a church at 10 o'clock. Now, many of us do join online on Facebook, but if you're unable to do that, can I encourage you to pray where you are? I know for some, they, for example, are at work. Well, if around about 10, you can just take a time, even a few seconds, to pray with us, your prayer would be appreciated. Or maybe you're unable to access things online. Can I encourage you to stop and pray? Because friends, whether we can get online or not, nothing can stop us joining together in prayer. Praying as the Holy Spirit leads you with prayer, thanksgiving and intercession builds up the body of Christ, builds you and me up together. Secondly, to remind you that we have a prayer chain. Please use our prayer chain. All you need to do is either let me know or email pastoralcare@minehead-baptist.com. Pastoralcare, all one word. And we'll pray together with you as a church. We'd also like to include in that prayer chain those that don't receive email requests. And what that needs in order for that to be successful is for us to know those folk who are unable to access things online. So if you know anyone this would be appropriate for, please let me know. And someone who could ring round one or two people to start them off ringing others. And lastly but not least, I have a challenge for you. I've called it a prayer phone buddy challenge. Well, why don't you pick up the phone this week on someone and buddy up with them for prayer? Not just this week, but ongoing. If everyone in this church rang someone once a week just to encourage them and to pray with them, that would make an amazing difference. Not just to the person who receives the phone call, but to the person making the phone call as well, and to us as a united body. If we were all to do that, what a wonderful that thing that would be of helping many who feel isolated at this time. And then over the course of Advent, we will be having our daily prayers themed around a Tom Wright book called Advent for Everyone, A Journey Through Luke. We're going to use those daily thoughts to form our prayers. The book can be purchased from Under the Rainbow there online at the moment, or if you let me know, I'll sort that order out with them. If you'd like a schedule as to which bit of this book we'll be using on any one day, just let me know and I'll let you have that too. Friends, we're coming into that season of Advent, a season of preparation. I can think of no better way to prepare ourselves than through prayer. Oh, and talking of preparation, Mark will share in a moment with you a very special way that the young people are going to be doing Advent this year. It sounds really exciting to me, but I'm going to let him tell you in his own unique fashion about the sort of thing we hope to do with our youngsters. God is good. There is no doubt about it. Right in the middle of this book, Advent for Everyone, when Tom Wright's thinking about Jesus' birth, he says this: why do people know about Jesus' birth? The manger, the Christmas crib, the animals, the cards, the church with its carols. People know about Jesus and his crib, not because of anything we do, but because of what he has done. And I can think of no better reason for coming and celebrating and rejoicing and praising our Lord this morning than that. We're going to join with Roy and Jenny, going to lead us in two songs. They're reflective songs. I'm giving you my heart, and I will offer up my life.
Good morning. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we can come together again like this. Even after all this time, it still seems amazing. Father, we pray for our world, Lord. We pray for the decisions that are being made today about what the next month holds. And we pray for those in government making those decisions. Be with them, Lord, we pray. And we pray, Lord, for those in our community who are struggling. Struggling with lockdown and not seeing people. And having no social contact. Lord, we pray that you would be with them and that we would be equipped to help them. Let us be that your light, Lord, here in Minehead. Let us stand for something different, Lord, and let us be seen to be doing so. And Father, we pray that we would not give into fear when we think of all the problems and all that goes on with coronavirus. Lord, let us remain constant and true to the knowledge that you are Lord of all, King of kings, greater than we can ever imagine. We bring ourselves before you this morning, Lord, and say, let us focus our hearts and minds on you. Bring peace to our hearts. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray. And we pray, Lord, for those in our church family who are unwell and awaiting tests. We pray for treatment, Lord, that it would be successful and effective. And we pray for those doctors doing tests that they might know how to interpret them and how to make best use of the results. Father, we want to humble ourselves before you. Great are you, our God. Let's come and worship you this morning. Amen. And now it's Mark, I think.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's just been pointed out to me that Richard didn't call me a young man, so I think I like Paul when he does the prayers. It's so much nicer. All right? So he calls me a young man. Good morning, everyone. It's really good to be here this morning. It's great. Richard's talking about prayers, about people being poorly and waiting tests and we're in COVID and all those sorts of things. And we can feel really down and fed up about it. But actually, We just need to change our way around and think positively and look forward. And that's what we're coming into at the moment. We're looking at coming into Advent, where we start to look forward and prepare, all right, for the coming of Jesus. Isn't that just incredible? So this year for Advent, some of you will already know, we're going to give out some Advent boxes like this. And in there is an Advent calendar, which you will be able to put together day by day if you visit our website and open up our Advent calendar that will be there. If you want one of these boxes, okay, if you think your grandchild would like one of these boxes, please let us know and we will get one out to you. We've got 40 already done, 20 have gone, well, people have ordered them, but don't worry, I've got an army of elves waiting to put them all together, all right? She's sat at the back of the church at the moment, all right? We're okay, we've got lots of people who can put these together and get them out. If you want one, please let us know as we look forward to the coming of Jesus. Because no matter what this year has brought us, they can't stop the fact that Jesus has come into our lives. And Jesus wants a relationship with us. Nothing can stop that. So let's prepare the way for Jesus coming this year. Right, that's the advertisement going. Okay. Now we're into this. Have you ever borrowed anything? Has anyone ever borrowed anything? All right, got a few thumbs up here. All right. Have you ever been into a library where you've borrowed a book? Okay, they're always like this, aren't they, with nice covers and things like that. They're nice books. If you've ever borrowed anything, or you've ever been to a library and borrowed a book, what do you need to do with that thing that you've borrowed? You do need to take it back. That's right. Especially a library, because they fine you. But you also have to take it back in good condition, don't you? Have you ever borrowed something and it's broken? Yeah, there's a few nods at the back now as well. Okay, when we borrow something, I don't know about you, but if I borrow something from someone, I do take a lot more care of it than if it was my own. I look after it a little bit more. I cherish it a bit more. When I'm using it, I'm being a bit more careful with it. Well, some you might have heard someone in church or some people in church say that everything belongs to God. It does. That includes you and me. That includes us. And if we're borrowed from God, it means we're going to go back to God. And if we go back to God, we've got to take care of what we've got. How can we take care of what we've got? How can we take care of the body that we're in? How can we take care of the heart and the soul that we've got? Well, yeah, we can go on diets and we can go running and all those sorts of things and we can eat the right things and then make sure we've got a balanced diet. Yes, that takes care of our bodies. But how do we take care of our hearts, our minds and souls? We have to be careful what we're putting into it. We have to be really careful about what we're listening to and watching. Because I don't know about you, but if I watch something on telly that is a bit violent, a bit gory, actually says some horrible words and horrible things about each other, and it shows people not being nice to each other, that can have an effect on the way I behave. We need to be careful about what we're watching and listening to. You've got a trickier job, you youngsters. Because when I was growing up, I didn't have the internet. When I was growing up, I only had three channels to watch on the telly. Right? Yeah, yeah, not a young man anymore, am I? No. Right? When I grew up, I couldn't Google everything I wanted. I didn't have instant access to everything around the world. You do. I didn't have a telly in my bedroom. I didn't have a mobile phone that I could carry around everywhere that had instant access to the world. You do. So you need to be careful about what you are watching and listening to. Because it's your responsibility to take care of what God has given you. Because you're going back to God. And just like you might have borrowed something to use or borrowed a book from the library, It will go back. God will look at you. God will see what you've been doing. It's not that difficult. Don't get worried about it. It's just about doing a few things each day. Read your Bible. Talk to God. Make it a priority to look at good things. Make it a priority to make sure that when you're reading your Bible, you're taking it in. Because when you do that, your heart and your mind and your souls will naturally change. And you won't want to look at the bad stuff. You won't want to Google horrible pictures. Start looking after what God has given you. It's only been lent to you, you know. You've only borrowed it. You are going back to God. So look after it. Read your Bible. Pray to God. Get books about Jesus and God. Talk to your youth workers and your ministers, your family, your mums and dads. Talk to them about the good things in life. And then as we look forward in this Advent time to the coming of Jesus, our hearts and our minds will be ready. Have a really good week, everybody. Don't forget, if you want a box, let me know and we will get one out to you. All right? Have a good week, everyone. Take care. We've got another song. Look, I nearly forgot that. Right? I worship you, Almighty God. Let's sing.
We have two readings this morning. The first from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. And our second reading is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Now just pray for Paul now as he comes to speak to us. Father, we thank you for our brother Paul. We thank you for your words. Father, we pray now that you would speak through Paul, that only your words would pass his lips. Amen.
Thank you, Richard, and thank you for the prayer. I reckon the eagle-eyed among you, or maybe that should be the bat-eared among you, will have spotted something. We've used both of this morning's readings several times before in church during lockdown in various different ways, either directly or indirectly in looking at various aspects of the readings. Next week is the beginning of Advent. It's become quite apparent around where we live that that's so as people start to put up Christmas decorations. And therefore, this is the last week we'll be looking at these readings for a while. So why emphasise them at all? In many ways, what we've been through from sort of end of September to date is a real deep look at these verses, a kind of series on them. But why emphasise them at all? Well, friends, put simply, I believe the Lord wants to say something to his church in the UK today, indeed to us specifically, which we need to hear. At a time when we have the hope of vaccines being widely available soon, and the possibility that the current lockdown may lead to some sort of relaxation of the rules over Christmas, which might mean families can gather together again in some way, I believe that the Lord would say to us, however much we should and could and ought to rejoice in all of that, his call to us today is the same as it was right back at the beginning of lockdown. A very simple call, which both of these scriptures bring to mind. His call once again to you and I is focus on me. Because let's be honest, it's really easy to let our attention drift away from that focus on him. The habits we established back in March, many of us, to daily pray and read scripture can start to slip. The plan we had to daily spend some time with the Lord, which incidentally we all gained so much from and enjoyed, becomes secondary to the other pressures of life. In one sense, friend, it's easy to follow Jesus when things change, even when they change significantly, when somehow a virus seems to undermine all of what we thought of as a pretty stable life. It can be easy to follow Jesus when routines are altered, because such changes often produce space in our lives of some sort or another. It's only when things return to normal, or indeed this becomes the new norm, that the pressure comes on again. And the things that clamoured for our attention back before all of this pandemic started start to clamour for our attention again. A bit like a nest of baby birds in constant need of feeding. It is so easy to simply let what seems inevitable happen. To fill that space that was created, that time with God, with something else. With one of those crying birds that demands our attention. In one sense, if we're not careful, friends, our own discipleship could slip back to where it was. And God's word to us through those readings is the same now as it was then. Focus on me. Friends, now is not the time to let go of all we have gained. Now is the time to press deeper in to gain more. So how do we do that? Well, here in Romans chapter 12, Paul reminds us that we need to start by putting things in the right order. He calls us to be living sacrifices, not conforming to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Psychologists say that human beings seem to have a need to model. What on earth does that mean? It means, in one sense or other, psychologists would argue, we need to copy something. And according to Paul in this passage, ultimately, there are only two things that you and I can copy, that the whole world follows. There is a worldview, and Paul wraps that up in this phrase, this age, which, according to Paul, is passing away. And there is God's view, God's will, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. And cut down to the chase, that's the choice you and I have, moment by moment, day by day, week by week. Do we follow the world's way and model the world? Or do we follow God's way and model him? Now, you can simply just go the way of the world. You can follow the herd, and nothing much will happen. Did you know that? It's not as if somehow there's this big thunderbolt that comes down from heaven and sort of zaps you. Nothing much will happen. But then again, nothing much will happen to you, or indeed the whole world around us. And if we as a church choose to model the world, then what are we doing here? Or we can do something else. We can dare to follow the will of God, which, if we dare follow, will change everything, personally, corporately. A narrow path where we might be asked individually, collectively, to pay a high cost, but a path which leads to transformation and freedom. And Paul says, be transformed. And what he's urging is not some sort of cosmetic on the surface change, but the inward transformation of the inmost nature. That was what was happening, incidentally, and indeed is still happening for many of us as we spend time with God. What changed in March for many of us was that we allowed God into our inmost being. And he started to change things, started to transform us, started to free us. Paul would say, don't lose that change, press deeper into Jesus. Let the Lord fundamentally transform your character and conduct away from the standards of this world into the image of Jesus Christ himself. Living in this society with the threat of COVID-19 has proven to me personally that these two value systems, the world's and God's, are incompatible, even in direct collision with each other. Whether we think about the purpose of life or the meaning of life, about how to measure greatness or how to respond to evil, about ambition, sex, honesty, money, community, religion, or anything else, the two sets of standards diverge so completely that there is no possibility of compromise. Why then are we all so eager, individually and collectively, to compromise so often with the world system rather than living in God's system, glorifying him? Why? Because we swallowed a lie. And Paul talks against that in those readings from Romans and Philippians. And what he's saying, to sum up both passages, is God's ways are not just the best ways, they're the ways of victory. And the lie we swallowed is that God's ways are weak and ineffective. We must follow God's ways. And unless we're prepared to change personally and collectively as church, what will this world see or hear when it comes out of the grip of this virus? If we simply go back to how things were in our individual lives before this all started, what are we saying to the neighbourhood we live in about the effect that Jesus Christ has on our lives, indeed had on our lives during a time of pandemic? Bluntly, friend, unless we're prepared to put God's will front and centre of our lives, they'll be able to look at us and sum things up by saying nothing's changed at all. The church had nothing to say to me before the virus, nothing to say to me during the virus, and nothing to say to me after the virus. It is irrelevant. And will underline, in essence, to many, quite how irrelevant the church is. Unless we change, many will couch all we say in terms of religion. What has religion done? It was the scientists that developed the vaccine, the health authorities that cope with the influx, the government that gave a framework, whether good or bad. All you Christians say you did is pray. And that wasn't effective at all. It hasn't even changed you. They'll simply ignore everything we say that doesn't fit into their worldview. So how do we change that? How does the church stand? Well, Paul emphasizes something in that letter to the Philippians, in the passage we read. He emphasizes that a united church can face the world without retreating. Oh, how the enemy must love it when we spend our time dividing the church, putting each other down, rather than encouraging and building up. How he must love it. If this church is to be successful, however that's determined, along the front line where we face the world, then what will count is not how great and wonderful programs we're going on, how many buildings we have, how many people come here on a Sunday, or even, dare I say, how good the preaching and the worship is, or Mark's talks are, or Richard's prayers are. What will count is not how good a program we have for adults in prayer daily, or how good an Advent box we send out to children. What will count is the relationship each of us has with the Lord himself, and how we, moment by moment, day by day, week by week, let him transform us into all that we could ever be in his name. That's what counts. And that's what will unite us. And Paul calls for unity and unanimity within the local church, because he knows it's from this base that the church is able to reach out to the world and speak into the situation. Declare the reality that God is still God. He is still in control amidst the pandemic. It is an amazing, unifying fact. And it's from that base, when our energy is not spent in fighting each other, on getting our point across, on one-upmanship, that the church can truly move forward, call its community to look to Jesus and repent. What a day it will be when this church is so united that the community can't help but hear a call for it to come and repent and meet the living Lord here. Paul reminds us that in this Romans passage that it's in the renewing of the mind in Christ that we find the growing point of new life as a child of God. Strength in this church doesn't come because of numbers. Rather, it comes when you and I spend time with God, allowing him to transform us, and together we stand. Friends, I genuinely believe that God has been prompting us to take these passages seriously and take them to heart, to acknowledge our need for him, in our time, our Zoom time, as leaders on Friday in prayer, one of our church leaders shared the image of someone looking down at their feet. And as they walked, all they could see was their feet and the fog that surrounded them. But the Lord was calling them, calling us as his church, to look upwards and to raise our gaze. It was an image I have pondered over the last day or so. I believe it to be a picture that fits in with the scriptures we've read this morning, chosen well before Friday. The Lord wants this church in 2021 to look upwards. But more than that, he wants us to do it now. So that when we come to the new year in a few weeks' time, we are looking out, declaring his name, facing our community. Because unless we look upwards, our community will never hear the good news that this church has to follow. Because there are two facts I know about speaking when you're looking down at your feet and the fog is thick. The first is that your words can easily get lost in the fog. You're not heard by as many, if by anyone at all. And secondly, even if you do have, if your words do carry, if you're looking down and at your feet, specifically as if there is fog, no one will be able to tell who's speaking. But if we as a church look up and speak up, not only do our words become much more audible, but in our faces and in our actions, the community will read the reality of who is Lord of our life. In other words, this is a call, dear church, to stand up, look up, speak up. Because I believe that the verses we read from Philippians 4 are ours for the coming year. Because I believe that the Lord wants to do mighty things here. And in fact, we were going to give you between now and Christmas, without saying how, we're going to try and give you as many of you as possible, a reminder of those verses. But in order for us to take them on, in order for the Lord to do mighty things here, we must play our own part. We must be transformed from self-centeredness into Christ-centeredness. If we are, as a church, are to stand fast in the face of a world at a time when the world needs to hear good news like never before, at a time when the World Health Organization says it worries about how proven COVID vaccine will reach the poor throughout the world, those most at risk, because wealthy countries are buying up the global supply. If we as a church are to stand first, fast, and demonstrate to the world who Jesus is by playing our part to ensure that all are looked after, because our Lord loves all, and our Lord has a heart for the poor, if we are to stand up and even speak into that reality in our own situations, and across the world, then we must attend first to our own personal sanctification, our own thoughts, our own hearts, our own priorities. If we're to enjoy the power of God at work, as Paul writes about in Romans and Philippians, in our inner being, then we must give attention to those outward laws that God imposes upon us. We must model our relationships on Christ, surround our circumstances with prayer, drill our minds in godly thinking, read scripture to soak in the Lord, and subject our lives to the Word of God. According to the reading from chapter 4 of the letter to the Philippians, it says this: do this, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And the God of peace will be with you. I want to leave one point for you to ponder as you decide whether the Lord has been speaking to you this morning. And say the Lord wants to give you that peace and that blessing. And it's yours to grasp. And he reminds you of the law to come before him. His law is to come before him and build a relationship with him. In prayer, in praise, in worship, in scripture. He wants to give you peace which passes all understanding. And he wants to be with you. But if you ignore the laws, however, you must also be prepared to forego the blessings. Amen. Friends, let's bring ourselves before the Lord in prayer. In this moment, I invite you, in the quiet and the stillness, to bring yourself before your Lord. To come before him with offering to him whatever he has spoken to you about this morning. To glorify him with your praise and your worship. Unify us, O Lord, we pray. Unify us in prayer and scripture. Unify us, Lord. This morning, I give you permission to work in my life as you see fit. That my life may be lived to your will. And as I make this offering, Lord, as I give you this sacrifice this morning, I pray that it will be what pleases you. I pray for my friends online, listening on a CD. And I pray, Lord, that as you have spoken to them, you might speak into their hearts and speak into their lives. And you'd be glorified. As we come to this Advent season, Lord, prepare us and start with us, we pray. May all that we do and all that we have and all that we are and all that we are to be to your honour and glory, your power and majesty, world without end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, if God has spoken to you and you want to get in touch with me, please feel free. We can either chat on the phone or our email, or I can come and we can work out how to help you in that journey of discipleship. You know, one of the things I love about Paul's writing is he reminds me constantly of something. It's as if it's all this phrase is always on the tip of his pen or the tip of his tongue. It's as if in everything he wants to write, God's victorious, Christ has won the victory. It's kind of he's got this bubbling over of victorious Christ in him, I think. And I think if he were around today, we would probably find him somewhere, even in his own living room, if he was joining by a live link, dancing around to this amazing hymn. We're going to join Roy and Jenny and sing, Praise Him, You Heavens, Great in Power. Just before that reading we had from Romans chapter 12, Paul writes this. It's a blessing. It's our heart to your heart this morning. A blessing for you and for your family and for those you know and love. Paul writes, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgment and his past beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever and ever." And all God's people said, Amen. Have a wonderful week.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And you can also find out what's going to happen to NBC over Christmas at minehead-baptist.com/Christmas. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.